delivered just in time for the start of today's installment of The Bible Answer Man, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. Thanks for joining us. Have you ever asked, why are we here? Is our existence here on earth meaningless and pointless? Or is there some way to determine that our lives are for a purpose and the product of a grand designer? If you find yourself often asking these profound questions, stay with us. Today, Hank welcomes Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt to dig through this topic. Both these men are writers, teachers, lecturers, and senior fellows at Discovery Institute in Seattle. Together, they've penned a book entitled A Meaningful World. We're making this book available through CRI when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our website at equip.org. Today's Bible Answer Man is a rebroadcast of a recorded program. Now, to kick off today's program is your host, the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, good to have you with us as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And as the broadcast progresses today, resource consultants are standing by at 888-7000-CRI. You can access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We've got a great broadcast on tap for you, a book titled A Meaningful World, How the Arts and Sciences Reveal the Genius of Nature. This is a book no Christian should be without. It is a simply marvelous book written by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. And again, the book is available right now as we speak, and you probably want to start ordering it right away. 888-7000-CRI is the number to dial. As mentioned, resource consultants are standing by to take your order, or you can get this book online at www.equip.org, or again, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. In studio with me, Jonathan Witt, and joining us via the marvel of technology, Benjamin Weicker. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us, Hank.
How did you guys get together to write this book?
Well, that's an interesting story. I guess I'll start off by saying that I read one of Jonathan Witt's essays in which he gave a rattling good reason why we should have a much broader and deeper understanding of the Creator than a mere watchmaker. And he threw out a lot of Shakespeare, and I would say I almost immediately called him and said, let's work together on this book.
Yeah, so another part of that was I had recently come to the Discovery Institute, didn't know kind of what I was going to be allowed to work on. And Jay Richards, a colleague who has also been on this show, co-author of The Privileged Planet, said, absolutely, you and Ben ought to take a look at this and kick some ideas back and forth and see where it goes. And so this is where it went.
You both are saying that there are two books of genius, two books that reveal genius. One is the book of nature, the other is the Word of God.
Absolutely. And of course, we didn't invent that idea. That's a very old idea in Christendom. But a lot of times Christians forget. They think there's just one book God wrote, and it's the Bible, his book of special revelation. And nature, well, that's a pretty tricky place. And a lot of these scientists out there, Darwinists and whatnot, these people, a lot of them are atheists. So we need to just put that aside and just focus on the Bible. Now, we absolutely do need to focus on the Bible. It's primary. It's God's detailed revelation of his nature. But go look at what the Bible says about nature. Go look at Psalm 19. What does David say? He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And God's book of nature has always pointed to him. And it points even more clearly now that we have these advanced microscopes and telescopes. It doesn't point less clearly. You'll have Darwinists, you'll have physicists, atheists like Steven Weinberg will say, oh, God's been disproved. Well, absolutely the opposite has happened. The evidence is accumulating, showing that the world is this marvelous work of genius.
In a sense, if you look at 19th century science, you would have Darwinian evolutionists look at a fertilized human egg and say, well, that's something rather simple, a microscopic blob of gelatin. But if you look at 21st century science, you can no longer say that. So as science progresses, there is more and more evidence that there are layers of genius upon layers of genius that we find in nature as well as in the Word of God.
Right. Then the evidence was always there. It was there for David, you know, back 1,000 years ago before they had microscopes and telescopes. But the evidence has gotten louder. It's gotten stronger. You know, Darwin and his contemporaries thought, Darwin didn't even think he had to explain the origin of life. He said, my theory takes up after the first life appears on Earth. How complicated could it be to put together a few chemicals to make a simple little one-celled blob? He thought that was about as complicated as a blob of jelly. We now know that the world of the cell is this unbelievable. I mean, we use metaphors like micro-miniaturized factories. Really, it's even beyond that. These micro-miniaturized factories build other factories of themselves, and they're living in a way that no human machine is. So we're well beyond the time when we can shrug and go, oh, the origin of life, that's something simple. We can't even get a simple cell because it's not simple without design. How much more everything that comes after.
What I think is particularly striking is how our audience reacted to Jay Richards when we had him on with respect to the privileged planet. And we started unfolding this idea that we are situated in the Milky Way galaxy in such a way that we can discover all kinds of scientific maxims and paradigms. We are uniquely situated for discovery. You're saying that when we look at nature and when we look at the Bible and when we look at works of art, when we look at Shakespeare, we're also, in a sense, looking at genius, and that genius cannot have just happened through pure materialistic processes.
Yeah, that's right. We want to give the greatest amount of support to what is a natural inclination, to look at things in nature and see them with wonder. That's our natural inclination, and a reductionist or materialist view of science ran against that inclination. And we argue that really we have ever more cause for wonder. Our book is built in many ways on the argument of privileged planet. For that reason, we take it into many new areas and show, as they did, that if you really look at our situation on Earth, it's amazingly well designed, both for human life, but also for human discovery. And that additional aspect of it makes the argument that much more powerful, because that's the kind of thing that couldn't come about by chance. You can't argue that this incredible happenstance where the Earth ends up intelligible, deeply meaningful, like a Shakespeare play, but it really all happened by accident. So in focusing on knowing and what scientists actually do in the latest evidence, we can show that, as Privileged Planet did, that there's much more to design than we ever imagined.
We're talking to Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. They've written a must-read. It's titled A Meaningful World, How the Arts and Sciences Reveal the Genius of Nature. And it is available to you right now when you give me a call at 888-7000-CRI. You can also order online at equip.org. Somehow or other, Jonathan, I want you to explain to our audience what they're getting when they get this book. A lot of people know about intelligent design, and they know that intelligent design is practicing open-minded science, following the evidence wherever it leads. But they don't really understand how this book is augmenting and highlighting the intelligent design movement with yet another layer of evidence.
Right, yeah. The bare kind of philosophical way to put it is intelligent design infers design, bare design, design simpliciter. Our book infers genius in nature. Another way to put it more poetically is those of you that are familiar with Christian poetry will know the poem that begins, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil." This is a Gerard Manley Hopkins poem from the late 19th century. Well, our book goes through and shows it flaming out for scientists down through the centuries and into our own century. The depth, the harmony, the elegance, the clarity are just extraordinary. And instead of focusing just, say, on microbiology, we show how all the way up the ladder in physics and chemistry, biochemistry, the biology of whole animal body plans, astronomy and cosmology, all these tie together like a brilliant work of art, like a Shakespeare play. And we explore Shakespeare in some of the earliest chapters to show historically what has been the signature of genius in our culture. What are the things that we've looked for that said that's a work of genius? And then we say, well, it's been pretty common. When you look at a Mozart or a Beethoven or a Shakespeare, there's certain qualities. There's a depth. There's a radiance. There's an elegance to these works. Then we go to nature, and at all these different levels, we find those same qualities. Makes a fascinating journey.
We live in a meaningful world. You were going to say something, Benjamin.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that. What Jonathan says is absolutely right, and let me give some examples of how we go beyond. If we were just looking at two poems that you might be reading, or a line from two different poems, well, one could be a really awful poem. And there's much awful poetry out there, as we're well aware. And one of them might be from a poem like, as from Shakespeare, a real piece of genius. Okay, well, both of them could be provable to be beyond chance for its generation. But only one of them is a work of genius. And so we want to ramp up the intelligent design debate and say we're not just after looking at nature as something that is barely understandable as something caused by an intelligence. We want to look at it as we look at a Shakespearean sonnet, as a work of great depth, complexity, and so on, and genius.
You guys also point out that there is a slide that we are experiencing in our culture into a kind of barbarism tarted up as nihilistic sophistication. So we look at things which are barbaric and very basic, and we act as though this is enlightened and sophisticated. And we have forgotten the beauty and the layers upon layers of genius in real works of genius like the Bible or like Shakespeare.
That's exactly right. One of the reasons we begin with Shakespeare is, just as you point out, there is, mainly through a certain currents in philosophy, as you mentioned, nihilism in popular culture and intellectual culture, the belief that genius really doesn't exist. You know, that human intelligence is just kind of an after effect of our genes or a sexuality or some really crude thing. And we need to recover for people just the category of genius, to have them experience what a true genius is. And that allows them to recover that. But we do that for another reason. We want our readers to have the experience of knowing genius. That is, we can participate in ingenious art. We can listen to Mozart. We can read the Bible. We can watch or read Shakespeare. And we have a kind of taste of that genius, a momentary elevation. We argue that's the exact same experience that the best scientists have when they make a discovery. They are shocked and surprised at the glories of nature. And that's not something you hear about from, say, Richard Dawkins or Sam Harris.
You did hear it, though, from the founders of modern science.
Exactly.
Men like Kepler and Newton. They wrote of, you know, Kepler said, "I was thinking the thoughts of God after him," when he made some key discoveries about the elegant motions of the planets.
We are talking to two guys. I am so excited about this book. I don't even know how to put it in words. This is a book which will enlighten you, and I think at the end of the day, give you a renewed understanding and perspective of how majestic the Word of God is and how incredibly important it is for all of us to recognize the genius, not only in nature, but in true works of art like the infallible, inspired Word of God, A Meaningful World, How the Arts and Sciences Reveal the Genius of Nature. It's available right now. You don't want to miss this book, 888-7000-CRI. You can also order it online at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And we'll be right back with more of Ben Weicker and Jonathan Witt. Don't you dare touch that dial.
Do the heavens declare the glory of God, or are they just a product of astronomical chance? Our guests argue that the cosmos, as well as our existence here on Earth, are the product and work of a creator. In their book, A Meaningful World, by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt, they succinctly and effectively prove through art, literature, and science that God's signature is on all of creation, and therefore has inherent meaning. As our culture becomes more secular and cynical, this will prove to be an invaluable resource. So order your copy today. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it online at equip.org. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. We'll dig deeper into the discussion on the other side of this break, so stay with us here on the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Meaningful or meaningless? Purposeful or pointless? When we look at nature, what do we find? In stark contrast to our culture's claims that the world is meaningless, the cosmos are actually charged with both meaning and purpose. Find out for yourself when you order A Meaningful World by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. Call 888-7000-CRI. Far from simplistic religious jargon, A Meaningful World draws from fields as diverse as mathematics, chemistry, biology, physics, and even the arts to make a solid argument that if God so fashions the intricate tapestry of creation, He must give the same care to our lives. Order your copy and find meaning in the world around you. Call 888-7000-CRI and ask for your copy of A Meaningful World by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.
Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Tuned into the middle of a fascinating discussion here on The Bible Answer Man. Together, our guests have penned an honest and comprehensive investigation into nature, inner earth, and outer space. The culture would have you believe that we are a random accident, coming from nothing and concluding in nothingness. However, this point neither satisfies the soul nor echoes of truth. If you wish to find tangible evidence that points to a creator and to hope for our souls, CRI recommends A Meaningful World by today's guests. Far from simplistic religious jargon, A Meaningful World draws from fields as diverse as mathematics, chemistry, biology, physics, or even the arts to reveal a cosmos charged with both meaning and purpose. You'll find A Meaningful World to not only be logical and clear, but also fascinating as well. To order your copy, call CRI right now at 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-CRI. And you'll also find it on our website at equip.org. Well, let's return now to the discussion. And here once again is the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And again, I am so delighted to have Benjamin Weicker with me, as well as Jonathan Witt. They've written one of the best books I've ever read, A Meaningful World, How the Arts and Sciences Reveal the Genius of Nature. And I suppose before we go on, I want to ask a basic question. Do you think that evolution can survive in an age of scientific enlightenment as we discover the genius of nature and the genius in literature? How can a philosophy that's based on philosophical naturalism survive?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, human beings are human beings, there's a great difficulty in having them break through intellectual habits. And I don't just mean the intellectual habits of card-carrying atheists like Richard Dawkins. That's hard enough. But we actually are born into a culture which has been largely defined for a long time by materialist reductionist science, so that even Christians aren't fully aware of the proper presuppositions and understanding of that they should of science. And that causes a lot of them to be, bifurcate. That is, they have on one side their religion and on the other side their science, and never the twain shall interact. And what we want to provide in A Meaningful World is an understanding that you don't have to be afraid of science. The best thing in the world is for us to get as firm an ongoing understanding of not only the current science, but the history of science and the philosophy of science, all that can contribute to our understanding of how ingenious nature is.
How do you get beyond, though? You mentioned Richard Dawkins, a man who, in The God Delusion, makes one dogmatic assertion after another and does not provide the kind of defensible arguments that you are providing in this book, and yet he gets away with it. It seems like in our culture, you don't have to make defensible arguments. You just make the dogmatic assertion.
Well, it's tempting. It's very irritating. I'm sure it is for Jonathan as well. We spend essentially 4 years in total writing the book. And somebody like Dawkins can whip off something, honest to goodness, it doesn't seem as if he spent very much time. As you point out, the arguments are weak even from an atheist standpoint. And boom, he's on the bestseller list. So I guess that there is this kind of David and Goliath feeling that we have. At the same time, we both believe that if we present a solid, interesting, profound argument which could answer somebody like Dawkins, or somebody like Sam Harris or any of the other bestsellers, we're doing a real service. So forewarned is forearmed, and that's what we're trying to do is arm Christians, but also, I think, convince people like Dawkins or people who are convinced like Dawkins to take another look,
And the ID movement, the intelligent design movement, has had probably its greatest success with younger people, with, you know, college and post, you know, postgraduate scientists, rather than the 50, 60-year-old, 45-year-old, say, Darwinist who's committed much of his career to that paradigm. But that's it'd be great if we could get some of those older people. Anthony Flew is a major British philosopher, an atheist. He came out and said, you know what? Intelligent design's real. I was wrong. It would be great if we could have an announcement like that every week. The reality is that probably it's going to be the younger generation of scientists that come up. In the meanwhile, we need to remember that most Americans and even a significant number of Europeans see evidence of design. And in America, there's a very unstable situation that's in our favor. That is, you have institutions of higher learning that are governed and run by materialists, the science departments, the sociology departments, many of the departments, but they're funded by average Americans, most of whom are not materialists. They may not be, you know, regular Sunday go-to-meeting Christians, but they look up at nature and they say, oh, of course it was designed. That's an unstable situation. How long are Americans going to sit idly by, allow themselves to be bullied politically, continue to fund, lavishly fund these programs? At some point, they're going to go, wait a minute, we've got some political clout in this. And now if we can just figure out how to do this in a loving but firm and informed way, maybe we can make some big changes.
But now you are chiding a man like Richard Dawkins, and justifiably so, but isn't that same chiding necessary for the Christian church itself? Isn't nihilism creeping into the Christian church? Aren't we prone to interpret things in a reductionistic way?
Absolutely. And you see that in many different ways. You see it in a kind of ham-fisted way of approaching the Bible that denies its depths, that says, well, here's the meaning on the surface, and that's the end of the matter, when there may be riches beyond that. And if we can bring a less dogmatic approach to, you know, looking at, so say, a wonderful work like the Book of Revelation, agree that we're going to disagree, but say, yeah, maybe it's not all simple, maybe it's not all on the surface, then if you come from a totally different direction, you get people who buy into the notion that religion and science are totally separate spheres. Faith and reason are separate spheres. So anybody that tries to give you reason-based or science-based reasons for believing in God, they don't understand faith, they'll tell you. They don't understand. They're actually denying faith. That's not biblical. The Bible teaches, Christianity teaches, that our faith is reasonable. Now, we couldn't get there without divine revelation. We couldn't get there without God's, you know, helping hand. But we have a reasonable faith. And so to kind of bifurcate these and to claim that we can put this faith over in this box and we can go to church on Sunday, we can break open our faith box, our religious experience box. Then we can shut that back up, try to stay good people the rest of the week, but then we go and we open up our science box. Or we open up our what does this psychoanalyst on Good Morning America have to tell me about how I can deal with my marriage problems? Now I'll have that box open. Living in this bifurcated world is not biblical. God says, you know, I'm the creator of everything. Everything makes total sense through the word I've given you, through the book of nature. Those two books, the book of nature and the book of the Bible, they interpret each other. The Bible, of course, is always paramount because we're fallen beings and we can run off and, you know, make what we want of nature. We can do that with the Bible too. But those two ultimately, those two mesh together, they harmonize, and we need to have a holistic view of those two things and not, as Ben said, be afraid of science. Think that, you know, it's somehow, you know, going to damage Christianity. Absolutely not.
Do you agree with that, Ben? Do you think that we have, within the Christian church, succumbed to the Enlightenment's false dichotomy between faith and reason?
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. I mean, I would call the greatest problem facing Christians, especially Christian scientists, but not only Christian scientists, a kind of schizophrenia. You know, they want to live in two distinct worlds or cosmoi, as if you really could live in two distinct worlds. And you have your science world, which tells you that the universe was randomly produced and it has no relationship at all to your faith. And then a faith which can only end up being so restricted and perhaps focused on feelings rather than the intellect. And that comes about, as I argue in Moral Darwinism, a previous book, that comes about through our having accepted a reductionist materialist view of the universe, which was, oddly enough, actually designed to destroy belief in God. It's a long story. We say something about that in this book, but our focus in this is the positive argument that it's just impossible to live that way. You can't be a 9-to-5 materialist in the laboratory and then come home and then act as if you live in a beautifully formed cosmos with your wife and family. The two have to be related. In fact, they have to be the same thing.
Another ironic point we make about Steven Weinberg, he's a physicist and a leading physicist and an atheist, and he, in one of his more famous books, says that the more we know about nature, the more we study it, the more we realize that it's pointless, it's utterly meaningless. But then, like one paragraph from that same point, from that point, he says that, well, then where do we find any kind of nobility, any kind of transcendence? Well, by finding meaning in the data. Well, that's only ennobling if he's actually finding meaning in the data. It's not at all ennobling if he's just projecting a fictional meaning onto the data. And of course, no real scientist thinks they're projecting meaning onto the data. Nobody thinks that Einstein just concocted, oh, I really like the sound of E equals MC squared. No, he thought that said something about reality and the fact that one instance we give of many that math opens up so much of the regularities of nature, tells us so much about those regularities. Is that a coincidence that there's that rational order to nature? Well, no. And science itself was founded in part on that conviction that nature is rationally ordered by a rational maker, and we can go after that.
We are talking to two people that I find to be geniuses in themselves, and yet they've gone to great lengths to make a book accessible to all of us, Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt, A Meaningful World, How the Arts and Sciences Reveal the Genius of Nature. This is a stretching book, but it is an exhilarating book. You will find that these two men have taken something as mundane as the periodic table in chemistry and made it very interesting as they explain not only the genius behind the periodic table, but the tutorial that allows us to discover that genius. This is really I don't really know how to fully codify my feelings about this book, but A Meaningful World is a book that you need to read. It's available right now, 888-7000-CRI. It's also available on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Right back with your questions for Ben Weicker and Jonathan Witt.
Do the heavens declare the glory of God, or are they just a product of astronomical chance? Our guests argue that the cosmos, as well as our existence here on Earth, are the product and work of a creator. In their book, A Meaningful World, they succinctly and effectively prove through art, literature, and science that God's signature is on all of creation, and therefore has inherent meaning. As our culture becomes more secular and cynical, this will prove to be an invaluable resource. So order your copy today. Call 888-7000-CRI. Find it online at equip.org. Do you realize that at this very moment, the persecution of Christians is gaining momentum around the world?
Not just the brutal persecution of fellow believers by Islamic jihadists, but the soft persecution of Christians here at home by secular progressives? It's imperative that as Christians, we stand against this rising tide of persecution. To make your voice heard and your convictions felt, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Meaningful or meaningless? Purposeful or pointless? When we look at nature, what do we find? In stark contrast to our culture's claims that the world is meaningless, the cosmos are actually charged with both meaning and purpose. Find out for yourself when you order A Meaningful World by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. Call 888-7000-CRI. Far from simplistic religious jargon, A Meaningful World draws from fields as diverse as mathematics, chemistry, biology, physics, and even the arts to make a solid argument that if God so fashions the intricate tapestry of creation, He must give the same care to our lives. Order your copy and find meaning in the world around you. Call 888-7000-CRI and ask for your copy of A Meaningful World by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You're tuned into the middle of a fascinating discussion here on The Bible Answer Man. If you wish to find tangible evidence that points to a creator and to hope for our souls, CRI recommends A Meaningful World by today's guests. Far from simplistic religious jargon, A Meaningful World draws from fields as diverse as mathematics, chemistry, biology, physics, or even the arts to reveal a cosmos charged with both meaning and purpose. You'll find A Meaningful World to not only be logical and clear, but also fascinating as well. To order your copy, call CRI right now at 888-7000-CRI. And you'll also find it on our website at equip.org. Well, let's return now to the discussion. And here once again is the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I do have the incredible privilege of interviewing Ben Weicker and Jonathan Witt. Their book, A Meaningful World, How the Arts and Sciences Reveal the Genius of Nature. Don't miss it. Order right away. 888-7000-CRI. You can locate it on the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me for it at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Before we go to our phone callers, want to underscore something. You guys are, in my estimation, geniuses, but you have gone to great lengths to try to take this material and make it interesting and meaningful for the reader.
Yes. A lot of the time was spent going back over the text again and again and again. And Jonathan was I should credit him more with the felicitous prose, since he is a gift with words. But we spent so much time trying to get it to the point where people could really use it. That is, instead of doing something really arcane and difficult about the periodic table of elements in chemistry, which some of us have had frightening experiences with when we were younger and have never recovered from that shock, we actually look at the history of science and look at the personalities and the situations that allowed human beings to make the discoveries that led to our large discovery of this wonderful text, the periodic table of elements, that makes the science of chemistry possible. We do that to show how it is that scientists actually work. You know, and somebody like Dawkins or whomever might point to the periodic table of elements and say, well, that, you know, we really are just a chemical conglomeration in accordance with the laws of this periodic table. Well, we take it from a different angle. And so if you understood how it came into being, how the many geniuses delved into nature, understanding that nature had layer and layer of intelligible order that draws us from the surface down to the depths of the order of the periodic table, you would realize that nature is ingeniously made, and it's ingeniously made to discover. So you can't use a materialist, reductionist argument in chemistry when you know the history of chemistry. And the history of chemistry really is how, you know, it tells you how it is we got that table on the wall.
And then we take, instead of stopping at chemistry, then we tie that back to physics. We show how the laws and constants of physics have, that this is commonly agreed upon, even among atheistic scientists now. These physical constants of nature, like the strength of gravity and the forces inside atoms, those are fine-tuned to allow for life, and they're fine-tuned in a way that's surprisingly, from an atheistic perspective, fine-tuned in a way that allowed those laws to be discovered. But they were fine-tuned to allow the kind of chemistry we have in this universe that allows for carbon and water, which are essential to life, along with a lot of other parameters. And then we go from there and show how that chemistry ties in to biochemistry. And again, we try to keep it very accessible. I had a really rewarding moment when I was helping my daughter with some sixth grade Saxon math, and she was struggling with a geometric proof. And I was trying to help her explain that. Then all of a sudden it occurred to me, wait a minute, this is a chapter from our book on Euclid. And I gave her the chapter. I was like, okay, we'll see how it goes. And she read it, and I came in a little bit later and says, well, did that help? And she goes, oh, yeah, I got it now.
You know, in all fairness, you have made this accessible to a wide audience of people, but you are saying between the lines with the very thesis of this book, do not be so shallow as a Christian. Expand your horizons and look at the genius in how God has constructed his word and how God has constructed his world.
Yeah, I think a lot of Christians they may have gone to a public schools, they may have gone to a Christian school where the science teacher had bought into Darwinism or something, and didn't really in any case the teacher did not have this kind of verve and energy and wonder about nature. There was something deadening about it. I remember a couple of my professors, they just my high school science teacher just seemed so dead. But that's not science. That's materialism deadening what should be an adventure of discovery.
We are talking to Benjamin Weicker, Jonathan Witt, their book, A Meaningful World. Order it right now, 888-7000 CRI, or just get it online at equip.org. I'm going to open up the phone lines, but do remember, if you're calling in, they're going to be with us, both of them, Benjamin Weicker, Jonathan Witt, for an extra hour once we go off the air. They'll give you answers to your questions. We'll play that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so you can call right now, 888-7000 CRI, to order the book. We'll go to the phone lines now, talk to Stephen in Tampa, Florida. You're on with my guest Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, good evening. How are you doing?
Hi, Stephen.
Yeah, my question had to do with, I happen to be in the health sciences, as is my wife. She happens to be in cancer research, and I happen to be in computers. But the question actually is about the role of evolution as a model for explaining why species are the way that they are. And my real question is not that I believe that evolution is just some kind of random, you know, accident or whatever, because I definitely believe that God's hand is in the evolution of everything. But when I mention it to my more, I guess you'd call it, fundamentalist friends or whatever, they say, no, you can't have anything to do with evolution and still claim that you have any sort of orthodox Christian belief. And so that's my own dilemma, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
We don't, and Ben can chime in here, but I don't think either Ben or I think that God could not have used evolution as a way to bring about plants, animals, and that sort of thing. What we think is that the evidence strongly suggests that that's not what he used. Now we need to be clear here. We need to make a distinction between microevolution, that's evolution or change within a species or type, versus macroevolution, which would be change over species, phyla, you know, moving from, you know, to give the extreme example, cells to people. We just think that the scientific evidence is against that. And once you fairly look at that, so you have to keep in mind that there are people who've invested their entire careers in defending neo-Darwinism. That doesn't mean that they're wrong, because you can be right and defend something your whole life, but you do have to think, how easy is it, knowing human nature, how easy is it for people like that to go, oops, sorry, I was wrong, all those papers I wrote and all those things I defended and all those people I insulted on the other side, I was wrong. That's very difficult to do, and there's also major funding that fits in with this Darwinian paradigm. So the point is that no, God couldn't have used evolution. That's limiting God's sovereignty and freedom. He could have, and in some areas he may have. There may be some ways that the universe, for instance, God let it evolve into place before he did certain things. But ultimately, it's the evidence that, for instance, Darwin had no access to. Harvard recently launched, $100 million initiative to try to explain the origin of life, because it's so much more intricate, even so-called simple life, so much more intricate than they ever imagined. $100 million, they've been studying it for 150 years. Now, the materialists will say, oh, you just want to say God did it. That stops science. We're going to keep looking for the answer. Well, what if God did do it? What if the first cell was designed? As reasonable beings, shouldn't we be open to that possibility, and shouldn't we be able to look and see if there's evidence? The evidence, of course, is that cells are packed with information. There's a lot more evidence than that, but this is maybe the easiest one to summarize. Packed with information. We only know of one source of information, our uniform experience. Scientists like to appeal to uniformitarian principles. Uniform experience, only one type of cause of information that we've ever witnessed, and that is intelligence. So we infer intelligent design. And of course, in the book, we go beyond that and say, it wasn't just an intelligent designer, it was a masterful designer of unparalleled genius.
Yeah, if I can jump in on that, the kind of difficulty you're having does point to, I think, something that Hank was saying earlier, that really there is a need for Christians to be very well informed with the latest science. There comes a danger in that, is that historically, our understanding of science has been, I guess you could say, malformed by this materialist reductionism, which tries to, which always assumes when it looks at any evidence that the whole can be reduced to purely material parts. That is, there's no aspect of holism, so there isn't any notion of our everyday experience of living human beings or the drama of everyday life having any foundation in science. A scientist from a reductionist viewpoint will look at the complexity of your chemical nature and say, that's all there is. What we do is bypass a lot of the arguments now that I would say are just caught in the ruts and say, let's look at the larger picture and see how this might stir things up and bring about a new paradigm, a kind of holism and an anti-reductionist approach to science. I'll give you one example. Instead of arguing about whether something can have evolved, we look at the entire universe as itself a kind of drama that unfolds according to an intelligible, ingenious order. Most of that time period is prior to biology, and so it's outside the realm of any kind of Darwinian explanation. That is, we show how it is, for example, that carbon or that the compound water are optimally fit for life. Not just a little better than the competition, but optimally fit, as if it were ingeniously created for its role in biology. So by doing that, we simply bypass the more proximate arguments, and we think get around the Darwinian problems doing that as well.
Like I said, two remarkable gentlemen, Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt, are going to be staying with me for an extra hour once we go off the air. We'll play their answers to your questions on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, A Meaningful World. Get it on the web at equip.org or just call us at 888-7000-CRI. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll see you tomorrow for more of Ben Weicker and Jonathan Witt.
Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt return tomorrow to further explore the evidence of a creator's work in all of existence. We hope you'll join us again. The culture would have you believe that we are a random accident coming from nothing and concluding in nothingness. However, this point neither satisfies the soul nor echoes of truth. If you wish to find tangible evidence that points to a creator and to hope for our souls, CRI recommends A Meaningful World by today's guests. Far from simplistic religious jargon, A Meaningful World draws from fields as diverse as mathematics, chemistry, biology, physics, or even the arts to reveal a cosmos charged with both meaning and purpose. You'll find A Meaningful World to not only be logical and clear, but also fascinating as well. Call 888-7000-CRI and ask for your copy of A Meaningful World by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt, or order online at equip.org. Write us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Waves aren't subtle. When you get hit by one, you know it. But beneath the surface, there are powerful currents that are not as easily detectable. Sometimes we're completely unaware of them until it's too late. The authors of A Practical Guide to Culture understand the cultural waves and currents of today. Waves are obvious issues pounding away at the Christian worldview, such as gender fluidity, casual sex, and pornography. Subtle undercurrents are issues such as the information age, identity, and perpetual adolescence. Being aware of these issues and how to address them is vitally important. Receive your copy of A Practical Guide to Culture as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Meaningful or meaningless? Purposeful or pointless? When we look at nature, what do we find?
In stark contrast to our culture's claims that the world is meaningless, the cosmos are actually charged with both meaning and purpose. Find out for yourself when you order A Meaningful World by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. Call 888-7000-CRI. Far from simplistic religious jargon, A Meaningful World draws from fields as diverse as mathematics, chemistry, biology, physics, and even the arts to make a solid argument that if God so fashions the intricate tapestry of creation, He must give the same care to our lives. Order your copy and find meaning in the world around you. Call 888-7000-CRI and ask for your copy of A Meaningful World by Benjamin Weicker and Jonathan Witt. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.